Genesis 35 on Through the Word, and today is the day to get back. Back to the place where you first met with God, to the place that God first became real to you, where you found out that God loves you, that He has a plan for you. We're following Jacob's story, and it has been up and down all the way. So many trials, yet God has been faithful to stay with him and see him through. And just when it looked like Jacob's life might find some stability, finally finding peace with both Laban and Esau, Jacob moved his family to Shechem. There, his daughter was raped, and two of his sons went on a rampage of vengeance. And now Jacob finds himself in a mess of deception one more time, worried yet again about vengeance and vendettas. So where can he go this time? God has the answer in verse 1. God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there. Make an altar there to the God who appeared to you when you fled from your brother Esau." So God tells Jacob to get back to where you once belonged. Bethel is the place where Jacob encountered God for the first time. God met Jacob on the lonesome road, running from his own lies and his own brother. And God appeared to Jacob and promised to stay with him and bring him back home. Jacob declared God as his God, and he called the place Bethel, House of God. But that was a lot of years ago, which is exactly why God called him back. Time wears memories thin, and Jacob needs to remember. We can get there too. I fell in love with Jesus 17 years ago. I made commitments for life, for eternity. But sometimes I need to get back. In Revelation 2, Jesus tells his church, "You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first." That word repent is a real key. It means to turn around, to change your mind and change your direction. Jacob realizes that he has wandered away, and it's time to turn back. So in verse 2, Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Put away the foreign gods that are among you, and purify yourselves, and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, so that I may make there an altar to the God who answers me in the day of my distress, and has been with me wherever I have gone." So they gave to Jacob all the foreign gods that they had, and the rings that were in their ears. Jacob hid them under the terebinth tree that was near Shechem. So check this out. Jacob's family wasn't just in the wrong place, they had the wrong gods. A whole collection of foreign gods was in Jacob's house. It's no wonder their lives were a mess. In order to get back, they've got to get rid of all the empty gods. That's true for you and I as well. When God calls you back, just get rid of the soulless gods of money, pleasure, knowledge, and self. Those dead idols don't answer for anything, but God did, and God does. So in verse 7, "And there he built an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God had revealed himself to him when he fled from his brother." That altar that Jacob built is an emblem of sacrifice. "My life is yours, God. It was before, but I declare it again now." And the new name for the place is interesting. El Bethel. El means God, so the name is God of Bethel, or God of the House of God. So what about you? Where's your Bethel, where you first encountered God? For me, my Bethel was more of a time than a place. It was 1996. I was 21. The place was always moving. It was in my car, an 89 Nissan Sentra, cherry red, through the radio. Nothing supernatural. I just stumbled upon the teaching of the Bible for the first time. And for the first time, God was revealed to me. That's how it works. God reveals himself through his word. I didn't know that then, but God met me there, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, with several teachers. I should have called the car Bethel, because it was like God's house then, and I and my wife were totally changed. Andrea and I were so overcome by the love of Jesus, just pouring out through his word to us. And it wasn't the car, or the place, or the teachers, or even the word itself. It was the God of that place, the God of the word. We just loved Jesus. And I think that's why Jacob called the place El Bethel, because it wasn't about the house of God, it was about the God of the house of God, El Bethel. Moving on, there is a peculiar repetition of an old event, starting in verse 9. God appeared to Jacob again, when he came from Paddan Aram, and blessed him. And God said to him, "Your name is Jacob. No longer shall your name be called Jacob, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. Now God had already changed Jacob's name, but it's repeated here. See, Jacob's name change represented another change, a transformation of character. Jacob means heel catcher or deceiver, but that's the old man. Israel is the new man. Israel could mean wrestles with God or governed by God. I think it's the latter. Jacob the deceiver is now a man submitted to and governed by God. He wasn't acting like it for a while, but here God reminds Jacob of who he's called to be. God also reminds Jacob of his great plan for him. Jacob may have gone off track for a while, but God's plan still stands. The chapter ends in sorrow for Jacob. In verse 18, his wife Rachel dies, the love of his life, while giving birth to his 12th and final son, Benjamin. The 12 sons are listed for posterity in verse 23 to 26. And then, at long last, Jacob's journeys bring him back home to see his father one more time. In verse 28, now the days of Isaac were 180 years, and Isaac breathed his last, and he died and was gathered to his people, old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. And so the great patriarch passed on, the son of Abraham, the man of faith, who carried on the knowledge of God and passed it on to his son, Jacob. And the timing here is rather amazing for me. As I am recording this, one of my heroes in the faith and a patriarch to my spiritual family has just passed away. Pastor Chuck Smith was 86 years old on this earth, and he's now just about 3 days old in heaven. Pastor Chuck was one of those teachers on the radio when God met me at my Bethel. He taught the Word of God faithfully, and he was the one who taught most of the other teachers to do the same. As they did, God met me there. God was revealed to me through his word, and I am so honored to pay that forward. Chuck Smith was a great teacher, a humble and noble man of God. And he died, as it says of Isaac, old and full of years. But it was never about the man of God. It was always about the God of the man of God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and Jacob, the God of Chuck Smith. And now, my God as well. I owe Pastor Chuck a lot, more than I can count, and I want to dedicate this teaching to Chuck Smith. And I want to say thank you, and thank you, God, for your faithfulness through Chuck and to Chuck. As for the rest of you, read Genesis 35 today, and as you do, ask yourself, isn't it time for you to get back to Bethel? Get back, Loretta. Your daddy's waiting for you. He's high on grace and low on vendetta. Get back home, Loretta.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.